or 2010, whichever way you like. A whole fresh, unused new year ahead. And how do we approach it, brothers and sisters, children? Do we take a big sigh and say, here we go again, I'll battle through whatever? It can feel quite daunting. That is if you travel the year alone. This morning, I would like us to meditate on a new year, to cease to worry about what has gone before and to look towards what is to come. And in so doing, ask God to renew our spirit. Now, children, have you ever been in your house in the evening when all of a sudden there's a power failure and all the lights go out? What is the first thing you usually do or say? And that is, Mum, Dad, help. Well, that's what it's like for those who travel this new year without the Lord. There is darkness, there is fear, there is uncertainty. But if you reach out, call out to God, there will not be darkness, only light, and there will not be fear, but boldness and encouragement. Sure, there will be trials, and some were experienced last year, I'm sure. But there is no denying it was tough. Some people had problems they had to sort out. Maybe some stumbled. Maybe some of us fell. And then maybe others saw their true relationship to God clearly for the first time. Through it all, God dealt justly and mercifully with us all. We are here today, January the 3rd, 2010, as a testament of his love for his people. And we do not travel alone through this new year when we call out to God. He is with us at all times. We must trust him. He will not fail his people. So, getting back to Joseph, how do we think young Joseph felt being sold into Egypt? Without that trust in a loving God, he would have been afraid, fearful of what would happen to him. Now, I'm not suggesting he was pleased with the arrangement. We seldom are when things happen which we do not fully understand. But as we know, Joseph being sold into Egypt was part of God's plan for him. We don't know his plan for us, so we should be prepared to be patient and wait on God, trusting in his wisdom and praying that we understand what lessons we are being taught, what directions we are being given. Our Lord knows the beginning and the end. We only know what we know. Joseph probably didn't know much about Egypt, even less about his new master Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officers, and certainly a very important one. He was the captain of the guard. And we know even less about what will happen to us in this new year. But we do know who our master is. We do know he will love and nurture us. We should trust him. In last week's sermon, we said that Joseph was a type of Christ. Here we have Joseph being forced to go to Egypt. And many generations later, our Saviour was taken as a child to Egypt to escape Herod's fear of being overthrown by another king. With Joseph, the Egyptians did not know their future Lord, the one who would have total control over the country's food supplies during the mighty famine. He was being sold into their country as a servant. Likewise, they did not know of the majesty of our Lord and Saviour when he was brought into their country by another Joseph and his wife, Mary. Joseph was sold as a servant, but he was destined to great honour. Although at this point in time, Joseph must have wondered what those dreams he had shared with his family were all about. He must have been under great temptation to think that God's word had failed him. And we too should not be too hasty to judge God's words by his providence, but instead to judge his providence by his word. If we are subjected to trials, feeling as if everything is going wrong, and we are watching our world crash around us, the promise of crowns and rivers of pleasures, as mentioned in Psalm 36 and verse 8, seems so far removed from our present situation. Look at the predicament Joseph found himself in. Many promises would appear to have been forgotten by God. God, the great promiser, and yet they were fulfilled perfectly at the right time. God's word is established in the heavens, and it may seem from our narrow perspective never to be fulfilled. Joseph lived in faith and died in faith, his faith supporting him in every trial, however severe. So let us do the same. In Isaiah 28 verse 16 we read, "Whoever believes will not act hastily." So let us learn this patience and learn to wait on the Lord. We have a whole new year ahead of us to be patient. Here we are then, at the door of a new year. And like Joseph, not knowing what God has planned for us. It is a starting point. Another milestone has been passed on our journey to the celestial city. There are a further 365 steps before us as day by day we draw closer to the end of our journey. Therefore, this day, as we take the first early steps of those 365, it's an apt time to renew our personal covenant with God. Let us in our hearts ask as David did in verse 10 of Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's the basis of what we're going to talk about this morning. To assist us in this, I have been guided by a sermon preached by Charles Spurgeon at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in 1863, which he titled "Gracious Renewal." Gracious Renewal. There may have been occasions in the past year when you gave thanks to God and determined in your heart to walk closer with him. Maybe after a recovery from an illness, when like Hezekiah you had more time added to your life and were overjoyed to once more breathe the fresh air and to be among family and friends. Possibly after a series of problems there was a halt to your difficulties. From being downcast, you were suddenly lifted up and burdens were removed. Then you may have said, thank you, Lord, and let me be more devoted to you. If you had been delivered from a sin which was wearing you down little by little, or had brought dishonour to God, did you, like David, in this psalm, fall on your knees saying, and we'll read verses 7 to 9, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Have you felt like this? Have you felt really broken in spirit as David was? Psalm says, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Let us not confirm our devotion to our Lord only in times of trouble, but also in times of our prosperity. If God had been pleased to show loving kindness to you, it should be reciprocated by you, showing all your love in thankfulness for his tender mercy. Are you here today with hearts leaping for joy because you are here with your brethren, with your family, worshipping the living God? What has the Lord done for you? In the past year, were there mercies you could sing about? How about the seasons of life? Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 3, I'm sure you all know this one, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And God knows that season and that purpose. Surely these and other occasions, there are other occasions for renewing our promise. For example, a wedding. Some of us attended Samantha and Dale's wedding yesterday, and we saw them, we witnessed them make a promise. It was a beautiful time. Other times for renewing our promise with God is delight at the birth of a child, at children growing up to love the Lord, at anniversaries and birthdays, at improving relationships, giving thanks at opportunities provided for work, at growing wiser in the things of God, of knowing peace of conscience. You see, there is not one here who cannot see where God has kept his promise to us. So why do we need to ask for the renewal of our spirit? First of all, there's the absolute necessity for it if we want to persevere. Everything that is created needs to be renewed. Rivers need to be refreshed with melting snows and falling rain. The goodness in the soil is renewed by decomposing leaves and decaying animals. In winter, the earth rests in preparation for the explosion of spring. Psalm 104, verse 30 says, "You, God, renew the face of the earth. No living thing can stand by itself. It is only God's presence that sustains life, keeps the sun giving light and warmth." What animal can live without the refreshment of sleep and food? From the minuscule to the gigantic, all receive their breath from our Creator. Therefore, you and I cannot expect to be sustained without renewal from God. We constantly need food and water. The strongest man who ever lived will soon die unless he is revived by nourishment. Remember Samson, after he had killed all the Philistines, not all the Philistines, but lots of them, with the jaw of an ass. He cried out that he would die unless he could quench his thirst with a drink. And it was God who split the rock so water would come out. The Bible says, "And he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived." The same thing must be said for our spiritual life. We must drink of the living water. We must feed afresh on the living bread. We did that this morning in our communion service. Texts in Scripture speak of waiting on the Lord and renewing our strength. Also, renewing our strength like an eagle's. What about when David sings, "You restore my soul"? It shows that we often need times of refreshing by the Lord. Do you realise your faith needs constant restoration? How easy it is to slip downward by ourselves, but to travel upward to heaven, we must have the mighty hand of God. Just as men have to eat, so Christians have to pray. And do you feel a pang of regret if you miss your daily quiet time and communion with God in prayer? Just as men need to breathe, so we Christians must exercise our faith in Christ. And as we must build up the body with food, so we must build up our soul by feeding on the word of God or listening to the word preached. Do you hunger? Do you thirst for the things of God? How quickly our faith would waste away if it were not renewed regularly. We feed our body, let us not neglect our soul. The saints cannot live without the diligent use of Scripture and prayer. You know, and I know, we must have renewal. Let us go one step further and see if you do not see the need for spiritual renewal you may be made to see it. This psalm, Psalm 51, is a result of David being made to realise his awful sin of adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah. He too was a saint before God, but was overtaken by sin. And God sent Nathan the prophet to make sure David did know about it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, that him who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. This is a warning to us that we should not become too complacent in our Christian life. Do not become lax in our attitude to attending church or Sunday school or in our general lifestyle. Brethren, the devil is the best salesman in the world. Just give him a toe in the door and in no time he will be in your life. This year, none of us know what temptations will befall us, how the evil one will assault us, and I'm sure he will. So now, right now, at the beginning of the year, is the time to strengthen ourselves. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "If you suffer the good to grow weaker, the evil will surely gather strength and struggle desperately for the mastery over you." Let us then put on the whole armour of God, and in so doing, renew our spirit before God. Be also reminded in the possibility of unconscious backsliding from God. Spurgeon was concerned that this was the sin of the church in his day. Can we say that it isn't the same today? I plead with you all that just not because we feel that we are not under pressure, that we can walk carelessly before God. We're not persecuted in this church. We're not under any pressure as such. We have given much thanks that we have been kept together as a body of believers over many years. Let this not turn into indifference. Indifference has a great power to destroy a church. Remember in Pilgrim's Progress, as the pilgrim and hopeful went through the enchanted ground, it says the air was heavy and hopeful had great difficulty keeping himself from sleeping. So let us not be given to sleeping, for we have much work to do. There is a danger in rest before the time of rest has come. Maybe because we are growing in numbers, and we are grateful for that. We are blessed because we are growing in numbers. But maybe we think this is a time of peace, and maybe it is. But let us be ready as a body and as individual Christians not to be lethargic and idle. Let us pray to God for a vision of what he wants us to do in our homes, in our church, in our community. Shall we say again, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Dictionary definition of steadfast: fixed in direction, steadily directed, firm in resolution, purpose and faith. Secondly, let us be reminded of our powerlessness to renew our own spirits. We acknowledge that without the Spirit of God, we are unable to do anything right. What does our Lord and Saviour say in John 15:5? "Without me, you can do nothing." Now just imagine a sailing ship at sea with all its wood and brass brightly polished. Sydney to Hobart is an example. Beautiful sailing ships, yachts, and many sails unfurled. What does a sailing ship need to make it travel from port to port? The wind. And what happens if a sailing ship doesn't have any wind? Nothing. It doesn't go anywhere. Now, if the same ship starts to leak and the wooden hull has begun to rot, and her sails are all ripped and torn, it wouldn't be too long before this once steady ship would begin to sink, because a ship cannot repair itself. You see, if a church or a saint in a healthy state needs to cry out to God, how much then do they need to cry out if they have begun to fall apart spiritually? The point is, when a Christian's heart is out of order, he has no power to put himself right without the work of the Spirit. Spurgeon again puts it so well. With the renewal of our spirits, every grace is wanted that was needed for our first conversion. We needed repentance for our salvation. We need it now that we may be renewed. We wanted faith that we would come to Christ. Only a similar grace can bring us to Christ now. We thirsted for the word from the loving God then, a word for direction, to quell our fears, and we need the word now. Our powerlessness to renew our own spirit should make us pray earnestly and do as David did, rush to God and ask him to renew a steadfast spirit within me. And in so praying, let us be ready to use the means through which God works. Don't ask God to visit us and then close the door. Let us not ask to be fed and then refuse to eat. God has his own ways. You who have been saved did not know God would choose you, but he did. And why should he? You were not better than anyone else, but choose you he did. And when you were first converted, did you have the fire for the Lord? Did you have desire for the word preached and read? Did you have love for the brethren? Do you have these feelings and wants now? If not, isn't this the time to cry out, renew a steadfast spirit within me? Thirdly, blessed results are sure to follow if the Lord renews your spirit. You will experience joy, no doubt about it. Remember once again in our early days as Christians, we had an abundance of joy. We were full of heavenly graces. Indeed, our cup seemed to overflow. What delight if we can have our spirit renewed and made as it was then. How was it for you when, like Bunyan's pilgrim, your burden of sin rolled off your back? What a release, what jubilation. And when you said for the first time, Jesus is mine, you took a real possession of Christ to yourself. Did you sing hymns with extra gusto? And when you prayed, did you pray fit to bust? Prayer was no token gesture, but an earnest talking with your Father in heaven. Did the people around you notice the change in you because you loved the Lord Jesus Christ above all things? Do you feel that way today? Is it as obvious? This is a call to you today. Come, put your hand in his afresh. He will renew your spirit, and that joyous feeling of being born again will return. And what a blessing that is. Do you recall how in those early days you had no doubts? Your faith was strong, not lukewarm. You were hot, you had zeal. Do we have that today? What about when we didn't want preaching of the gospel to end? We wanted more and more. We wanted to be fed. There were no nodding eyes, no dull spirits. You thrived on the word. It was meat and drink to you. Nothing could prevent you from attending Sunday services. You were at every prayer meeting and study, and you couldn't get enough of Christ. Is it still the way for you today? Or do you find it not so easy to give your attention to the word? Resisting the temptation to look at your watch? Do you find being at services and meetings on time becoming more difficult? Is the church, is the preaching not the way it used to be? Is it getting all too hard? Ask the Lord to renew your spirit, and those wonderful old feelings will come flooding back. you'll be as new, born again. So what other outworking can you expect from a renewed spirit? Your usefulness to others will increase. Your vitality, your new vitality in the things of God will be an encouragement to them. Even if the strife and stress of the world is attacking you from all directions, with a fresh joy in your heart, they will become unimportant. Remember how Peter and Andrew were fishing when Jesus first called them. Scripture tells us in Matthew 6:22, "And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus." Immediately. How about the Samaritan woman at the well? She couldn't wait to tell others that she had met a man who had told her all the things she ever did. All the trouble in the world will mean nothing if the affection we once had was restored to us. We will again be on fire for the Lord, as Peter and Andrew were, as the woman by the well was. Other people will see it in your face, in your actions, in your life, because you have been close to the Lord. Fourthly and finally, aren't we obliged to renew our covenant with the Lord? When you first made Christ your own, it wasn't a mistake. No, it was the best thing to happen in your life. This was pointed out by the minister at the wedding service yesterday. I think he said that it's a wonderful thing to be wed, to be married, but it's not the most wonderful thing in your life. Coming to Christ is. And there may be many things you have regretted in your life, but the one thing you have no regrets about is giving yourself to Christ. And you still feel that way, don't you? If it was right then, it is right now. This beginning of a new year, when we may feel jaded and possibly worn out with battling through the Christian life, and a battle it can be. We don't hide that, do we? The Christian life is a battle, but we don't fight it alone. So today is the day to renew our agreement with the Lord. Many times God renewed his covenant with his people. Throughout the Old Testament, there were signs of renewed revelation. And when the Son of God became man, what greater indicator of God's renewed covenant with his people could there be? Reflect over your Christian life. Look in your notebooks. Search your diary. Talk about it after the church service and later today. And see how often his precious covenant has been renewed with you. I don't need to go into detail here. I just urge us all to take time today to consider the blessings that have been constantly showered upon us. If you have become a backslider, today renew your covenant with the Lord and pray, "Renew a steadfast spirit within me and go forward with Christ." If you are long in the Lord's service, as some of us are, ask the one who kept you in your early days to preserve you as you grow older. For those who struggle daily with work and business responsibilities, today, when you are far away from those pressures, renew your promise to glorify God in all things. Mothers, you with such a meaningful duty, that the world is trying to degrade. Today, ask your Father in heaven for greater perseverance and understanding. Young Christians, you who have many miles to walk and many trials to overcome, who have recently dedicated your life to the Lord, dedicate it again and again. And to you who do not know the Lord, don't be left behind. Unbounded joy can be yours today. Repent and you will be saved. Cry out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." January the 3rd, 2010. A new start, a new year. 365 steps to be taken. Let each step be taken in the light of the Lord, with love for God's house, and in a habit of prayer. Amen.